is good. And all the time. Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you on this gorgeous Sunday. Amen. Wow, God just knew we were having a 160th celebration, and so fair weather was provided, right? Isn't that right? Yeah, don't forget tonight, by the way, we're beginning our 160th celebration, 160th homecoming celebration in the in Drake Harbor. The tent's already set up down there. If you've been down by, it looks pretty amazing. And we just want everyone to come. The whole community actually is invited. Tonight is at 5 o'clock with a covered dinner. And also, I got this just so I could be correct in what I said here. Tonight, J.D. Little and Carol Bryan is going to speak. Yeah. Oh, that came this way. See, I just naturally look at my wife, you know. Tomorrow night, Shelby Seelinger will be speaking. Tuesday night, Bill Moore will be speaking. Oh, by the way, tonight will be our praise team and the River James Band, excuse me. I always want to confuse those, Kenyon. Sorry about that. We'll be providing the music tonight, and of course, the meat is provided by Warren Hunt. So we ask you to bring a side dish or a dessert. And like I said, Shelby is tomorrow night with the Grace Notes Quartet singing. On Tuesday night, Bill Moore with Jamie Dirks, Charlene Million, Christina Palmer, which is formerly Johnson, and Deanna Shockman are providing the music that night. So I'm sure that's going to be wild and crazy, right, lady? Yeah, yeah. Wednesday night, Pete, our very own Pete Graham, yay, is going to be... We're going to have bluegrass music and pies, pies, pies is what the card says. So then Thursday, David Scott is going to be here speaking. Lori Scott's going to bring the music. And, of course, all of you are bringing ice cream, right? Yeah. All right. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Tonight is 5 o'clock. Monday through Thursday is 6 o'clock. Tonight is 5 because of the dinner and everything. But after that, it's 6 o'clock on. So please make sure that you come and come to the harbor and enjoy a great time, great evening. You want to come on up for your announcement? Oh, you have a mic. You are prepared. Bradley, could you give one of the Bell mics? Turn it up for Sharon, please.
Good morning. My name is Sharon May. And I am the director of the Bell Choir. I'd just like to say a special thank you to all those who play in the Bell Choir because we have so much fun. And if any of you would like to participate in the ministry, the music ministry of this church, and maybe your voice isn't the greatest, but you have a hand and can count, and have a smattering of musical knowledge, we would welcome you to come see if the Bells is a good fit for you. Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock is when we practice, and we do have a good time. We play music, we laugh, and then we laugh some more, and eventually get around to playing music again. But we do have a wonderful time, and you're welcome to come join us and see if it would work for you. Thank you.
See, we're eventually going to add another table here full of bales. Bales. Full of bales. See, I walked up here next to Teddy and that just came out of my mouth. Full of bales. Full of bells right here. So, sorry, Teddy. Two more tables. So anyway, yes. And that goes for really anything in the church. But she's talking about music ministry and specifically bells. We have some amazing, praise God, music ministry in this church. And our choir is singing today. And, of course, if you like to sing at all, make sure you can come to that. That is, let me see, that's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights, right? So bells at 5, choir at 6. So make sure that you are there. Also, on this connection card, I'd like everybody to get out their connection card for a minute. That's this third page. You can begin filling it out while I'm speaking here, if you wouldn't mind. Your name, address, telephone number on the back side. If you turn it over on the opposite side, it lists several ministries that we have. And it's important that you understand that there are many ministries within each of these teams. So, like, for instance, our, as has already been mentioned, the Caring Ministries has, you know, like Allies for Angels, which is a special needs ministry. We have folks that write cards to people. We have folks that bring meals to people or portions of meals to people. We have so many different things going on. You know, greeter and usher, you are the first faces and greeting that people see on Sunday morning. The greeters and ushers are. Ushers help people to their seat if needed, and just helping everyone feel welcome that come, and that's very important. Child care, that's folks that help us with child care during Sunday mornings and anytime there's a meeting at the church. So if you have any questions at all, make sure that you let us know. We might be able to describe something to you that is exactly what you want to do. In the meantime, if you would fill that out, put your name, address, telephone number on that. If you're visiting with us, we put a special welcome out to you. We thank you so much for your presence. If you would for sure fill that out. And then later on in the service, that would be your offering to us, to put that in the offering basket. It's towards the end of the service. And, of course, all of those who are members, if you would put those along with your offering in the basket as well, that would be excellent. Now, this card, we're lovingly calling it Cliff Notes because Cliff Soppy prepares them. This is a little study guide for you to take home, keep beside your prayer chair, along with the prayer concerns and joys that are listed in the bulletin. So make sure you take these home. Pray for folks. Keep a pencil out during joys and concerns in case there's some additions there. And take this home with you so you can have a little devotion as well. Are you ready for an awesome worship service this morning?
Yes.
Excellent. I am excited. Thank you so much. Oh, there's one thing. The conference called and asked me to announce this morning. And actually called Jay and asked us to announce this morning. It's a growing deeple. Jay, maybe you ought to announce this. I hold the bishop's picture up, and it just does that to me, I guess. Growing Deeper, Fruitful Living, and Fruitful Worship. September 18th, it's at Sedalia at First UMC, the big celebration center. I believe it's 36th Street, something like that, the main intersection when you come into town. 32nd? Okay, I knew it was 30-something. All right, it's the main intersection as you come in from south of town at the Sedalia Celebration Center. It is going to be quite an event with the Missouri Bishop Robert Schnazy speaking on the five practices of fruitful living. Bob Farr is speaking. He's the Director of Congregational Excellence for our conference. So it will be quite an event. If you are interested in this, it goes from 9:30 to 3 on the 18th. Would you call the office or email us at the office? Just let us know so that we can let them know how many are coming from this church. So they want everyone to know that all people are invited to this who are involved with the church in any way. And it will be a great time. They're both great speakers. Yes?
$5 charge, but that includes your lunch.
Oh, $5 includes lunch. Sounds kind of like Lunch Bunch. That's quite a deal. So, all right. September 18th. Make sure you write that down so you can be a part of that as well. All right. I just welcome you today. Again, thank you for being here at First Church. If you're visiting with us, you know, this is going on 4 years now. It's hard for me to believe. It's gone pretty much like that. These are great folks. And if you're visiting, you've come to the right place to worship God and have a relationship with Him. So our bells have our prelude for us this morning. Thank you.
you would please stand for our song of praise, We Fall Down, which is on the screen.
Our faces on the ground because of your holiness, because of your faithfulness to us, because of your faithfulness through the centuries, God. We give you thanks, God, that you, the one who created all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be, Lord, you think of us. You were thinking of us before our eyes were open to this day, Lord, and that is just an amazing thought. We just want to give you praise. And God, although we know that you are here with us already, we want to ask for your presence. Each of us individually, Lord, we want to ask in Jesus' name for you to come into our lives. Fill every dark corner with your light. Make all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place, Lord. May your spirit be so thick within us that it oozes out of our pores and everyone around us when we leave today and go to our workplace this week may feel your presence coming from our lives. Holy God, we are your children. Help us today as we gather to worship you, Lord. Help us to act like your children. Help us to raise our hands and our spirits to you, God, in worship. Help us to focus our hearts and our minds and our souls on you, the one who loves us so deeply with your amazing grace. Be with us, God. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. Get them going. Who will ascend? Let's sing it out loud here. I'll start you off. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? What's that? We're going to do it, right? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation. Pure and holy. Let's sing that again. Here we go. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation. Bow down to the idols of this world, 'cause my heart belongs to only you. My voice will cry out forever, give you praise. Sing it with me.
My King of glory.
Come on now.
My King of glory. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord?
We're going to do it, right?
We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation, pure and holy.
Blood can wash these stains from my hands. You are the God of my salvation. No one but you could ever purify my heart. Sing it from your soul now.
I need your mercy. I need your mercy.
Here we go.
Ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation, pure and holy.
I will not bow down to the idols of this world, and my heart belongs to only you. My voice will cry out Let's hear it. Shout it out.
My King of Glory. My King of Glory.
Who will ascend?
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who will ascend to the mountain?
Come on now, I can't hear you. Sing it out.
We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation, pure and holy.
All right, let's hear it now.
We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord.
Yeah.
We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain. Generation, pure and holy. Generation, pure and holy. Generation, pure and holy.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Now it's time for the kids to come on down. Judy Kramer will be doing the...
Sing with me.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
My goodness, there are a lot of you this morning. Can you say good morning? Are you all liking being back at school? There goes my lesson. Well, are you learning anything in school? Good, good. She said she's kidding. What are you learning? What are you learning?
Math.
Math, that's very important. That's very important. Well, you know, sometimes you don't know you're learning, and you are, just because you're in a certain place and you're seeing things and hearing things, and you're not actively trying to learn, but you are. You learn anyway. Now, tell me, who's responsible for what you learn at school? Who's the person that... Well, there's someone in your classroom who's there to help you, the teacher. And the teacher's a very important person because they know the things you're supposed to learn, and they help you. You have to do a lot of the work yourself. But that teacher was trained, they have to have a college education. And the teacher, you know, you're going to see a teacher like that all through school. Now, did you know that there are other kind of teachers? Do you know anyone else in your life that teaches you something? Maybe something like how to ride a bike? Your mom. Okay, we're going to have a teachable lesson here of how to behave when you are up here sitting on the floor, boys and girls. Okay, this little girl said her mom teaches her things. What does your dad teach you?
Preaching.
Okay. And that's a good thing. Hopefully, the things that you're learning and being taught are good things. Now, there was someone who was one of the greatest teachers. He didn't go to college. You know, he didn't get paid to do it. He didn't have a classroom. Who do you think that is or was?
Jesus.
Jesus. He was the great teacher. He was called rabbi sometimes. And a rabbi, back in the days when he lived, was very well trained for years and years and years. But he taught us how to pray. He taught us how to forgive. He taught us how to love. And he taught us that God loves us. All important things for our life. Very important things. Now, did you know that you can be a teacher? You can teach someone how to do something. Maybe it's just by the way you behave. They look at you and they think you're doing a good job, so they want to behave the same way. But you can also tell what you've learned about Jesus. You can tell others good, you know, to make good choices. You may just want to, you know, teach a little brother or sister how to learn how to tie their shoe. There are just so many things that you can teach, things that you know that you can pass on. So all of us can be good teachers, and I want you to do that this week. I want you to try to think of something you can help someone else to learn. And whenever you finish helping collect the change, when you go up and down the aisles, I'm going to be sitting towards the back, and I have something I will give you to help you either learn or to teach. I'm not giving it to you beforehand because we want to, you know, get the money collected and be calm and but come on down to see me. I'll be right towards the back. I'll be looking for you after you collect your money and bring it back up here. Okay, let's say a short prayer. Bow your heads, please. Dear Father in heaven, be with all of these wonderful, sweet children. Help them to learn to be teachers just as your son Jesus was, and to make this world a better place. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I guess you need to get your...
Don't forget the cups. As the children collect change for apportionments, we will sing Stand Up for Jesus, number 514 in your blue hymnal.
Thank you.
As we turn to our joys and concern, what a greater joy can we have today than our 160th birthday of this church? We have to be thankful. Amen. We have to be thankful of our forefathers and those who created this church 160 years ago and those who have built this church long before we came along. And we have to be thankful for those of us that continue to build this church today. And as we continue to grow, we have to be thankful to God for all the joy of everything that we have in this little town of Warsaw and in this United Methodist Church that we have here in Warsaw. I'm just so thankful for that. I have a prayer request from Gary and Cheryl Wisner. Their granddaughter, Gabby Nielsen, is getting the hole in her heart repaired on Tuesday. So we pray that everything goes well with that and there is no complications. We also want to be joyful that we have such glorious weather for our 160th birthday. Eric mentioned it, but this time of the year, the things cool off. We start to see the change in the leaves and the colors. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful time of the year that God blesses us with. And we certainly can't forget the memories of 9/11, which we were celebrated, but yet we celebrate our freedom that we have and remember those that died on 9/11. And we certainly can't forget our military personnel who are serving today that we can keep that freedom. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this church. We thank you that 160 years ago that you blessed someone, some way, that started this church here in Warsaw. We thank you so much that it has grown, that the love of this church is here for anyone who wants to walk through its doors, and even that love spills out through the community. That, Lord, we just pray for the future of this church. We just know that you have great things planned for us. And we just pray that that glorious light that you shine around this church just continues to grow and shine throughout Warsaw and the surrounding communities and throughout the world. And, Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful weather as we begin this celebration this week. We just ask your blessings on each one of the speakers, the musicians. We just ask that that tent will be overflowing, Lord, that everyone in this community will receive a blessing from this week. And, Lord, we pray for this little granddaughter of Gary and Cheryl's, that you will keep your loving hand on her, make this surgery go well, and let her have a pure and holy heart. Lord, we just pray for all of those unspoken prayer requests that we know are out there, that you will touch the hearts and lives of each and every one of those, lift them up, give them strength to endure. And Lord, we just pray for all of those people that were touched by 9/11, the lives that were lost, the families that were left behind. Lord, we just pray for all of them. We continue to lift them up, that you will guide them and direct them. Lord, we pray for our military personnel overseas and here in the States and wherever they might be, that you just be with them, keep them safe, and bring them all home to their loved ones soon. Lord God, as we continue this service this morning, we just pray your blessings on the message that Pastor Eric has for us and the music that we will hear, and just thank you for all that you do for us. These things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Judges. Judges. Yes, there is a book called Judges in the Bible. Those who know, is it in the Old or the New Testament? That's right, the Old Testament. And, you know, just in case you want to know while you're getting your Bibles out, because I know everyone brought their Bibles, and if you didn't, the pew Bibles that are in front of you there, it's on page 258 in my Bible, if that helps you. Joshua comes before Judges, then the book of Deuteronomy before that, so on and so forth. Numbers clear to Genesis. So it's towards the beginning of your Bible. I invite you to turn to that, Judges 16. We'll read verses 16 and 17 today. Once you find that, would you close your Bible on your finger and stand with me if you're able? Raise those Bibles high above your head and let's say our Bible pledge today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Judges chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. Finally, after she had nagged Samson with her words day after day and pestered him, he was tired to death. So he told her his whole secret and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. I would become weak and be like anyone else." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
goodness, this is a need? A need? Another woman?
You make me sick, Roy.
Well, you make me sick, too.
Second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade. When black and white turn to gray and thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow.
Business trip.
Do you have to?
Well, maybe they can do without me this time.
When you think of Samson, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Strength? What else? Adultery? Okay. Yeah, the musical hair. How about Judge? Does that come to anyone's mind? He is a judge, was a judge, and was the last of the judges in the Israelite community. Nazarite. Anybody know what a Nazarite is? Huh? I'll tell you later if you don't. The story of Samson starts with a unique birth story in chapter 13. If you want to write this down, you're welcome to read it later. Chapter 13 is where the story of Samson begins in the book of Judges, with an angel appearing to an unnamed barren woman. It's really interesting. The story of Samson, probably his mother, was truly the only faithful one in the entire story, and she is the only woman that is unnamed. It's kind of interesting. She is told that she will have a son and that she should stay away from wine or strong drink. She should stay away from unclean food. And also, no razor should ever touch his head, for he will be a Nazarite. A Nazarite. And what Nazarite means, it's one separated or one consecrated to do the work of God. So one separated to do the work of God, or one consecrated to do the work of God, is what a Nazarite is. As Samson grows up, he slowly begins to slip into this sinful lifestyle until we come to the story that we read today in chapter 16 of Samson and Delilah. Probably almost as much as Mary, Jesus' mother, Delilah, is probably, you know, right up there in the top five of women in the Bible that are very well known because of the Samson story. She was a Philistine woman. A Philistine woman. Now, remember, the Philistines were why Samson was set apart in the beginning. Samson was set apart by God to fight the Philistine people, because they were the aggressors. They were overpowering the Israelite people. They were causing the Israelite people to have less of a life than what God thought they should because of their structure and such. Now, you know, Samson must not have been the sharpest knife in the drawer. Or some of you may say he was an apple shy of a bushel. Or a brick shy of a load, right? Got another one out there somewhere? Yeah. I never heard that one before. So anyway, he must not have been very smart, and here's why. All right. He is not only with a Philistine woman, but she comes to him three times trying to figure out what makes him strong. All right, so three times before our story today, she has come to him and said, "What makes you strong?" And those, you know, that's what she was asking. It wasn't those words. And he would tell her fibs. Like, you know, if you wrap this kind of vine around me, I'll lose my strength, right? Well, lo and behold, he would fall asleep. When he woke up, a vine would be wrapped around him, and these Philistine soldiers would pounce on him. That happened three times. Slow learner. And Jamie thought I was a slow learner after 18 years. Right? No, a slow learner. So, you know, I mean, fourth time. So what makes you strong? He got so tired of the question that he actually told her the truth. This is after three times that the Philistine army came in and pounced on him after this question was posed, right? So, he must not have been extremely smart or smart at all, because he just did not see what she was doing to him. And, you know, how in the world did this happen? How did this happen? Did Samson just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to destroy my life. I'm going to cut down everything God had planned for my life. I'm going to screw it up today. Do you think that's what he did? No. He had slowly walked down this road until finally verse 20 tells us. Now, if you have your Bibles open, I want you to open them back up. Or if you don't have them up open, I'd love for you to open them back up. Judges 16. I want you to turn to verse 20 for me. Judges 16, verse 20. So she had shaved his head, right? She'd already shaved his head. He wakes up. Verse 20. Then she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And when he awoke from his sleep, he thought, well, I'll just go out like I've had other times and shake them off myself, right? No big deal. Then listen to what the Bible says. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That is a scary statement, isn't it? This is one of the most tragic statements in the Bible. And Samson is not the only one that it happened to. He did not know that the Lord had left him. Samson was unaware of what was happening, how his lifestyle was weakening him little by little. It was a gradual process. It was a slow fade. Amen? And you know what? This slow fade should scare us to death. It does me. It scares me to death. This slow fade that I'm talking about this morning. What are some things in your life that have put you or are putting you on the slippery slope that Samson experienced? What are some things that are causing a slow fade in your life? Think about this. You might be able to lift up some ones that are well known. How about, you know, a small lie? We call those white lies, don't we? Right? But, you know, the bad thing about little lies is you tell one little lie, and then the next time, you know what? A little bigger lie doesn't seem so bad, does it? And the next time, a little bigger lie doesn't seem so bad, does it? And the next time, you begin wondering, wait, now what's the truth, and what? Who did I tell that to, and what am I saying now? Right? What about cheating? Whether it's on your taxes or on a test. What about cheating? Oh, it's just one thing. It's no big deal. Taking a candy bar and not paying for it. That's not a big deal, right? 50 cents, 75 cents, $1.50, whatever they are now. 50 cents might give you a quarter of one, right? It's not a big deal. But you know what? Then the next time, it's not a big deal to get two, is it? Or three the next time. Oh, I know. Just a little peek at a porn site. Just a little peek at a porn site. It's not going to hurt anything. Right? Really? No. Oh, just one drink of alcohol. That's all. That's all. Whenever I was these guys' age up here in the balcony, that's what was always told to me. Oh, all right, just one drink. It's not going to hurt you. One drink. I never killed anybody. Oh, yeah? It's a proven fact that drug addicts started with marijuana or something like that that didn't hurt anybody, right? It's values and principles. They just go downhill. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. It's not just one drag. It's a lifetime. You know, it also works on much less noticeable scale. You know, have you ever noticed whenever God's involved with something that for some reason the results are much slower? Okay, let me show you where I'm going. You know what? I don't feel like going to worship today. I'm just going to stay home. Right? That's all right. Probably don't notice it much, right? But then next week, you know what? I really need to do this today. And the next week, and suddenly it's been 2 months, and wait a minute, I haven't been in church. Right? Or involved with extracurricular things in the church that help us build relationships with other people. Which is where, you know, the relationships are where the support network comes in our lives. Amen? It's interesting, whenever in my years of ministry, I'm learning this more and more, that spiritual matters are kind of like a big well. It's like we have this huge well. All right. And when we walk away from those things, such as worship, such as small groups, such as Sunday school, whatever, all right, that's involved with the church, right? And when you walk away from things like that and you don't participate, after a while, when you don't do devotions at home or pray, right, it's like you're taking a cup of a tin cup, say, just for illustration's sake, and you're taking a dip out of that well and you're using that water. You don't notice it. That you just keep dipping, right? Using that water and using that water. And all of a sudden, that metal cup, it goes clank, clank, clank on the bottom of the well. And we've hit bottom, haven't we? And we realize, wait a minute. Dear God, I don't even have a relationship with you anymore. I mean, why have you left me? What's going on, God? I mean, we used to be so close, right? And many times that's our reaction. It's like, oh, God, don't you hear me anymore? I mean, what's going on? And when you look back at your path, if your eyes are open, you're going, oh, wait a minute. God's still walking right up there. It's me that's veered off the path. It's a slow fade. Do you hear that this morning? It's a slow fade. That cup keeps digging and dipping into our water, the well that's a gift of God. And the thing is, that well runs dry, and it's a slow fade. Very seldom do we realize it's getting low until it's almost too late, and our soul is shriveled up to nothing. It is a slow fade. So, you know, oh, I just don't feel like going to worship today. I'm too tired to pray or do my Bible study. I'm not going to tithe this month. No one will miss it, Jay. No one will miss it. No one will notice. And it grows and it grows and it grows until we never see you in worship anymore. You feel that God isn't in your life anymore. And if we only open our eyes, we realize that we're the ones who veered off the path. You know, this is one of the most terrifying things for me within our culture and the church. It really is. And maybe it's because I have kids. Maybe that's why I worry about it. I don't know. Maybe it's because I love y'all. And all y'all have kids, right? All of us do in this church, amen? You may not have kids biologically, but if they're in this church and you're a part of this church, guess what? You have kids, amen? Yeah. But this is terrifying. Now, I believe there's a lot of areas that the church and culture have grown better. I think there's a lot of areas that God appreciates, that God would want us to grow in. I really do. But you know what? There are many things that are acceptable now that 50 years ago, what would people do? I always think, if my grandmother would come back today, what would she think? Now, you have to understand, my grandmother went from horse and buggy to seeing man on the moon. So she probably would fully, and she's a school teacher and principal, so she would be fully aware that there's going to be a lot of technology, but I'm talking about our value system. I'm talking about our morals. What would she say? I think about some of the movies that I think are okay, and then I think, man, what would Mackie say if she were watching this with me today? And probably she would say, oh, Lordy, it's getting down to brass tacks. I'm going to bed. I can almost quote her on that. I bet you she would say that. But you know what? This week and this last month, as I've been preparing for this sermon, and we've been preparing for this 160th homecoming celebration, right? It's made me think. What was culture like 160 years ago? What was our moral basis, our value system 160 years ago? And the difficult thing, now I'm going to say a word, and some of you may classify yourself in this word, and so, but please don't misunderstand me. There are liberals who are extremely intelligent because they are pushing our country in a generational slow fade way that no one notices. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? I mean, think about it. There are things that happen that you don't even think about that your parents or grandparents would have a cow over. There are things our kids don't think about that maybe even us, but especially our parents, would not understand. How did we come to this place? It's a slow fade, and it happens so slowly that generation after generation after generation gets used to the new standard. And we always think that standards are supposed to go this way, aren't they? But this standard that I'm preaching about today is going this way. And it scares me to death. It scares the heaven out of me, let me put it that way. What are some of the moral values that drive things that have been slowly fading away over the history of this church? What are some of those? You know what really scares me? Again, your Bibles, verse 20. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Folks, what happens when we wake up and we don't know that the Lord has left us? It's a slow fade. Samson didn't know that the Lord had left him. Think of our youth. Think of our children. How are they paying for our slow fade? How are they paying for our parents' generation's slow fade? How are they paying for our slow fade from God's purposes? The people of God have always been tempted to reflect culture instead of transforming it. And maybe because supposedly U.S. culture is a Christian culture, right? Right? You awake out there today? I know this is kind of heavy, but folks, you know what? Dadgummit, we got to think about this. We really do. No. Well, I really think that our forefathers, I think it was based on Christian values. I believe that. I really do. But you know what? How many years ago was that? And where are we today? And how did we get here? Did that happen, like, was that last week sometime that happened? What, was it a month ago that happened? When did that happen? Well, I know it was 9 years ago, 9/11. That's when our morals and values went through the floor. Is that when it happened? No, why? Say it with me. It's a slow fade, isn't it? I really hope I'm scaring you because I'm scared. And I don't want to be scared all by myself. No, I'm serious. I mean, this is something we ought to be bothered by this. And I think we need to pray that God bothers us. I think we really need to pray that God works us up a little bit about this, because this is serious stuff. This is, to me, it's serious stuff. And I honestly believe God gave this message, and I think God believes it's serious stuff as well. Theologians, Howard Wass and Willimon, by the way, is a United Methodist theologian, believes that the only way we can transform our world is by being faithful to God and God's purposes. Changing the world begins with being a faithful church by honoring, trusting, and obeying God alone. Let's say that together. Changing the world begins with being a faithful church by honoring, trusting, and obeying God alone. Now, you know what? Okay, Eric, that's the church, but what about me? Well, let's put person in church. Let's read it again. Changing the world begins with being a faithful person by honoring, trusting, and obeying God alone. Eric, how do we do that? I mean, we're a part of this culture. And if the culture is slowly fading, the morals and values within the culture are slowly fading, how can we understand that? Well, tell me something. What do we have access to that's been around for a long, long time? The Bible. Now, you know what? I know there are people out there, and maybe you're in this camp. I don't know. There are people out there that believe this every written word, every dot, the cross of every T was written by God's hand himself. There are others out there, and maybe you're in this camp, that believe this is a great history book. But you know what? No matter where you are, this is the book. This is the book that tells us about the morals and values of the early church. This is the book that tells us about the morals and values that Jesus taught us. Amen? So no matter where you are in the camp of what this book means, it is a book that tells us what Jesus thought, what the early church taught, what those great people, those apostles that got everything going for us, taught. And so if we don't want to be a part of this slow fade, guess what we have to do? Come on! What do we have to do? Read it! Now, you know what? You know what's really amazing to me? Is sometimes the people that are on the history book side of this read it more than the people that believe God wrote every dot and tittle. Why is that? Because they want to prove it's just a history book, right? The thing is, guys, I want to ask you something. I want every single one of you to think about this. David Samuel, I'm talking to you too. Tell me the difference in time that you spend in front of the TV versus the time you spend in front of this Bible. Reading it, obviously. If we want something to influence us, it has to be a part of our lives, right? Right? So if we're a part of the TV's life for however many hours a week, and we have 1 hour, and if it's this a worship service, it's like 10 minutes of that hour, right? This book is a part of our life. How do we expect this book to influence who we are? How do we expect this book to have anything to do with our life, with our family life, or anything? How can we expect it to influence us? You people that believe God wrote every word of this, how can you expect it to influence you if you don't read it often? I'm really scared, folks, about culture. And I know preachers have been preaching this for a long time. Well, you know what? Maybe we ought to start listening. You know, as I was studying for the sermon, the last three sermons had a lot to do with helping us out. Do you remember what the three simple rules, Wesley's three simple rules are? What's the first one? Do no harm. What's the second one? Do good or do all the good you can, right? What's the third one? Stay in love with God. You know what? Whenever I was praying, I was like, oh, dear Jesus, there it is. That's what we need. Right there, if we do the three simple rules, do no harm, do all the good you can, stay in love with God. Remember how you stay in love with God? You pray. You study God's Word, right? You have a devotional life, right? That's how you stay in love with God. You're involved with the church, have relationship with people. That's how you stay in love with God. Amen? Everybody with me out there? Right? So guess what? Let's say it together. If we do no harm, if we guess what? We're going to separate ourselves from this slow fade. We will separate ourselves from this slow fade. we will recognize what culture is doing to us. If you read this book, you'll realize that burning the Quran is not a Christian act. It doesn't matter how you feel about that faith. That is an act of hate. Right? Carrying a sign around that says God hates fags is not a Christian act. It doesn't matter how you think about homosexuals. That is not a Christian act. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? Where do we get off doing you know what like that? Where? And then the national news covers it. So guess what? I got to stick to my guns now, don't I? I don't have a bushy mustache like he does, but... Right? I mean, you know, on one hand, I respect them. Why? Because they actually think their Bible means something, their Quran, and they're going to do something about it when someone burns it. You know what really bothers me? How many Bibles have they burned? Do you ever see that on the news? Does it mean anything to you when they burn a Bible? No, it's just a book. Right? Or is it something more? I'm sorry I'm kind of fired up. No, I'm not sorry. I'm really not sorry. I'm not sorry. Praise God, but I hope and pray that you're bothered. I really do. And you know what? This may be a small town, but it's a growing town. Do you know when we send out a mailer to the zip code, we send out 8,000 mailers? That's how many households we have in this area. I wouldn't call that a small town. Because more or less, there's 2.5 people for every household. So what's the population of this zip code? Folks, that's just us doing our part. That's just us doing no harm, doing all the good you can, and staying in love with God. And guess what? When people see that, youth, when people see that in the hallway, they'll know they should not commit suicide because there is more to life than what they're experiencing. Real quick, I want to read the words just in case you missed it. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands and darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn into gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattery leads to compromise, the end is always near. Be careful, little lips, what you say. For empty words and promises lead broken hearts astray. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. That's the chorus. The journey from your mind to your hands is shorter than your thinking. Be careful, if you think you stand, you just might be sinking. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade. Choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Daddies never crumble in a day. Mommies never crumble in a day. Families never crumble in a day. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Let's say it together. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Do no harm. Together, let's do it. Do no harm. Do all the good you can. Stay in love with God. Holy God, we raise our hands to you today. We thank you so much for your word to us, to this church. We thank you so much for 160 years of your blessings upon the ministries of this church, God. We are honored to be here. And we thank you for all those in leadership who have come before that have led this church to the place that we are today. Continue to guide us, God. May this slow fade bother us in Jesus' name. May you get inside of our lives so that we are truly bothered by this. So that we have energy, so that we get angry, a righteous anger, God, so that we can go out and have energy and will to do your will. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 127. Let's sing the first and the last stanzas. First and last stanzas. Please stand.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Please be seated. We are blessed as a church community to have some awesome folks joining us this morning. And we thank you all so much for being here and the part you've already played in the life of this church. Herb and Susie and Kenna are coming forward today to join our church, and praise God for that. Now, you are all baptized Christians, and you're presently members of other churches. And so we know that you've already accepted Christ publicly as your Lord and Savior, but for the good of us and the good of all of this church, I'm going to ask you some questions again in that regard, okay? Let me change the screen here. It's hard for me to do two things at once. I don't know if you've noticed that. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you understand that there are evil powers in this world creating brokenness and suffering, working against God's plan of healing and wholeness? And do you pledge to daily ask for forgiveness for any thought, word, or action of your own that creates brokenness rather than wholeness? Do you accept the freedom, power, and responsibility God gives you to resist this evil that creates injustice and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to daily and in every situation serve Him as your Lord, working together with the church, which Jesus has opened to all people, no matter what age, race, or social standing?
I do.
According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Church community, would you please stand at this time? Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of this particular congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? The membership covenant that you sign states, I will grow spiritually and support the spiritual growth of our church community. I will share in the purpose of our church community. I will find some way to grow in faith apart from Sunday morning worship, and I will protect the unity of our church community. Do you fully understand this covenant and promise to uphold it? Would you turn and face the congregation for me? Members of the household of God, I entrust these individuals to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, perfect them in love, and show them how a true community of faith stands with them in the crossroads of life. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as worshipers together with you in the body of Christ and in this community of the First United Methodist Church of Warsaw. We celebrate your decision to become a member of this church community. We prayerfully support you and look forward to our journey together. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Jesus Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that with God's power and freedom, you may live in grace and peace. And everyone said, Amen. Let's welcome our newest members. I would be honored if you all would join me at the door so folks can greet you after the service. Awesome. Thank you so much. Now, if you would like to, if you're curious about First Church or considering becoming a member, you're invited to the next newcomers class. It's the 26th. It's a Sunday from 1 to 4. Make sure you put that on your calendar, even if you're a longtime member. And that we had a blast last week because a longtime member came and participated with us, and it was amazing. And I just appreciated that so very much. So don't think because you're a member you can't come. Everybody's welcome, all right? Just let us know so we can plan for you. But, all right. What's next, Jay?
Our ushers would come forward at this time for offering. build this church. We just thank you now for these gifts that come forward to maintain and further that work that was started so many years ago. We just pray that you bless this, multiply it, and put it to your good. These things we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Join me in our closing song. It'll be the last two verses of Ascend. It's on the screen.
All right, here we go. Let's get those hands going.
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord?
Let's sing it out with us.
Who will ascend to the mountain of the Lord? We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord.
This morning.
We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. We will ascend to the mountain of the Lord. Generation, you're an holy generation. You're an holy generation.
Thank you so much for being here today. My prayer is that you felt God's presence today in our worship service together. A couple of things. If you're visiting with us today, don't forget to stop by and talk to me. We have some travel mugs for you. If you have been visiting with us and haven't received one, make sure you talk to me as well. Also, tonight, 5 o'clock, down at the harbor, is the beginning of our 160th celebration, homecoming celebration. And don't forget to bring a side dish or a dessert or something like that. If you can't bring one, come anyway, all right? Don't think you can't come if you don't bring one. We're United Methodist. We will have plenty of food, all right? But if you can bring one, please do. And just come and enjoy the fellowship, the memories. You know, one thing we're really hoping is that people will come with stories and just share and be able to laugh a lot together. Amen? Go from this place knowing that you are definitely, without a doubt, a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
You were called to do no harm. You were called to do all the good you can. And you were called to stay in love with God. God has known your name since before you were born. Take that from this place. And may you walk shoulders high knowing that you are a child of God. And wherever you go, you bring God's presence to that place. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you experience God's shalom this week. Amen.